Hallelujah, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful Easter morning, and it's so good to see you here. And I want to say thank you to the people who made these beautiful flowers and decorations possible today. It's so beautiful to have the church all decorated. After the bleakness of Lent, we have this joyful decorations for Easter. I want to start by asking a question this morning, which is, were you surprised when you heard the gospel lesson? Probably not. Most of us have heard the Easter story so many times that we know what's going to happen when the women come to the tomb. We know that they're going to find an empty tomb and the angels are going to be there. So we're not really that surprised. But if you think of what it was like for the women who went to the tomb, it was a total surprise for them. They went at early dawn on the first day of the week to anoint the body with spices, because that's what you do in when someone dies. You take care of the body. That's normal. There's no surprise to that. They're just doing what you always do. But when they get to the tomb, they find several surprises. The first surprise they find is that the stone in front of the tomb has been rolled away. Why is that? Then they go in the tomb and they find the second surprise. Sort of a shock. There is no body. And then all of a sudden, standing beside them are these two men in dazzling clothes, which are angels, I guess. And they say, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen. And think what a surprise that must be. So they go back and they tell the other disciples and the others who are with them. And the other disciples are so numbed with grief and with sorrow and loss that they're unable to be surprised. They're unable to hear the message, except for Peter, who picks up and runs to the tomb, and when he gets there, he sees the burial cloths laying there, and he comes back amazed. Peter has the capacity, at least, to be surprised. So I think this story is really a story of surprise and amazement. I think that resurrection is always a surprise, or at least it ought to be. You know, when one thing dies and then it's reborn, when it comes to life again, that's always going to be a surprise. Resurrection is always all around us. Resurrection is happening all the time. When I was a young guy in my 20s, I was a contractor to the Forest Service. And after I'd worked for a couple of years, I'd saved up enough money that I bought a new truck. Well, it wasn't new. It was a used truck, but to me it was new. It was a 3/4-ton Chevy pickup, and it was beefy, and it was macho. I loved that truck, and the best part was when my friends saw it, they say, "Oh, a new truck. You must be a success." So it was great to have that truck, and I loved that truck. Got married. That was no problem. There was plenty enough room in the cab for Katie and me. So don't need anything else. Then we had a baby. Well, a baby changes things. And when I held my firstborn son in my arms, I was amazed at what a change it made in me. All of a sudden, here was this new life that I was responsible for, that I had brought into the world with Katie's help, of course. And it changed me. And instead of just being this sort of happy-go-lucky, carefree guy who pretty much did things for himself, all of a sudden I felt I was a more mature person and more responsible. So there was a change. You might say it was a resurrection moment for me, because the old person that I was had to die, sort of, so that this new, mature young man could be born. Trouble was, there wasn't enough room in the cab of the truck for me and Katie and the baby seat. So we had to sell the truck and get a little four-door sedan. So that was a resurrection time for me. And at the middle of it all was a surprise. And the surprise was how I felt when I held my son for the first time. Whenever there's resurrection, there's a surprise. You know, when Jesus was with the disciples every day and they were traveling and they were eating and drinking together, they took him for granted. I mean, it was just an everyday thing. There was no surprise about that. When he died, they were grieving like anyone would grieve. But when they saw the empty tomb, that was the surprise that led to the resurrection, led to them understanding the resurrection. One of my favorite books from last year was a book called Falling Upward by Richard Rohr. And in this book, he says that there's two halves to our lives. In the first half of our life, we're building the container of our identity. And in the second half of life, we're trying to find out what's in the container. The first half of life, we're building our career, our family, possessions, investments. We get an ego. And that's important for us to do. We have to find out who we are. We have to build ourselves. And then he says, usually, somewhere in the middle of life, something happens. It's often a failure or a fall that brings us down from the heights of our ego. And we become more reflective. We become more mature. We start thinking about what the meaning of life is. And we don't have to be so much always successful. We don't have to be superior. We're more compassionate, and we're more forgiving, and we're more accepting. And that fall in the middle, he calls it falling upward, because although it's usually a fall, it leads to something better. That's always a surprise, because resurrection is always accompanied by surprise. The theologian Walter Brueggemann says that our culture leads us to a numbness. You know, we have so much available to us, so many choices, so many things we can buy, so much on TV and in the media and on our phones, that we forget what it's like to be amazed. We forget what it's like to be surprised. Maybe we need to redevelop our capacity for amazement and surprise if we're really going to understand what life is about and what the resurrection is about. The poet Mary Oliver observes the world around her very carefully. And I'd like to share a few lines from a poem that's about death. And this is near the end. She says, "When it's over, I want to say I was a bridegroom married to amazement. I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. When it is over, I don't want to end up having simply visited this world." Well, I think God works through surprises. Sometimes we call it grace. Grace is always a surprise. God raised Jesus from the dead that we might have new life, and that the world might be renewed through us, and that we might have eternal life. Does that surprise you? I hope it does. And I hope that this Easter will open you to the resurrection that is all around you and the resurrection that is inside you. Amen.